Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good afternoon on this Wednesday afternoon. How are you? 51551 or ray@rte.ie. It's not looking good for fungi. I feel that I knew fungi quite well because we spent an awful lot of time in Dingle over the years, and every time we were there, we went out and visited them. And had a lovely evening with Noel, who runs a kayaking business down there, and he brought us all out. There was about a group of about, I don't know, 8 to 10. And we got up close and personal to fungi. He came right up to the kayaks, right beside us. You could just about touch him. And then we did the usual stuff going out in the big boats. And sometimes you'd feel a bit sorry for fungi because sometimes you'd feel he was being harangued. But he wasn't. He was enjoying it. He was a performer. He loved playing to the gallery, as my dad used to say. Loved playing to the gallery. And he'd jump up and he knew exactly what was required of him. And we all shouted and yelped and said, "Woohoo, there's fungi." And of course, a lot has been said over the years about the very special relationship between fungi and Dingle. And indeed, a lovely report on the news last night by Sean McIntyre. And he showed a clip from a 1991 documentary which featured Paddy Ferreter. And Paddy was the old lighthouse keeper. And he was the first to spot fungi in Dingle Harbour back in 1983. And this is a clip from that documentary.
"No one knows more about that dolphin than I. For I can tell you times without I seeing him at all that he's there. For I'll know it in the water. I'll know he's just under the surface. Probably about a foot. I'll know on top of the water that he's there."
Isn't that brilliant? Paddy Ferreter. Loads of talk about the relationship and what if, because this has been a conversation that's been happening over the years. What if there was no fungi? What would happen to Dingle? Well, you can rest assured that Dingle will be safe without fungi. They'll miss him. They'll miss him. And there'll be stories told about him because he's been hanging around for 37 years. But Dingle is a beautiful place. It doesn't need a dolphin at all. It's one of the most glorious places on planet Earth. And you have to make an effort to get out to Dingle. That's the great thing about it. So people who are there want to be there. You're not passing through. You have to make an effort. And it's just that lovely. It has everything that you would expect of an Irish town. It has the sea. It has the scenery. It has the lovely locals who will welcome you. It has the pubs with character. It has lovely food. All of those things. And it's just a lovely, lovely place. So I've no fear that Dingle will do really well in the years to come because they don't need fungi, although they'll miss him. Now, maybe I'm speaking too soon. Maybe he'll turn up, but it ain't looking good. How are they going to, if he never returns, what'll happen then? Would they have some sort of ceremony? I don't know what's going to happen. Anyway, our thoughts are with the people of Dingle and fungi. And on the sea and all that, I don't know if you've read this, and this is very exciting news. We spoke to Jean, Nicola and Siobhan last week about the joys of sea swimming. And I see in all newspapers today, swimming in cold water could help to protect the human brain from dementia, a study has suggested. Researchers from the University of Cambridge believe the so-called cold shock protein may hold the key to developing treatments that delay the onset of degenerative conditions. So this isn't hokum. This isn't, it's lovely being in touch with nature and all that sort of thing. They reckon now, these scientists, that going into the cold water actually produces a protein that helps your brain stave off dementia. Now, it's in the early stages, but that's very exciting. And there'll be loads more people gravitating towards the sea if they prove that to be the truth. We spoke to Jane Johnstone yesterday about being a carer in lockdown. And Geraldine was on to us as a result of that to ray@rte.ie. I was really struck by the interview earlier about how isolated carers and indeed many segments of our society are as a result of lockdown too. And you asked the question, Ray, what can we do? It strikes me that everyone just wants to be heard and acknowledged. They weren't looking for fixes. And that's the difference. I'm often told this by women, that men want to fix things. So women want to chat, men want to fix things. So when a woman comes up to you lads and they offload their problem, you immediately, this is the male brain immediately wants to fix it for them. And oftentimes, they don't want you to do that. They just want a listening ear and a bit of compassion. Anyway, yes, I was looking for a fix. Geraldine says she's happy to offer a free yoga class twice a week to include a check-in at the start for a chat to family carers if they would like it. And she says, don't think Zoom will take 355,000, because that's the number of carers in the country, but perhaps you could share this note with Jane. And I will do that. I'll pass it on to you. And that's a very kind offer of yours. And who is this? Mary was on. She says, I'm contacting you with an idea that I have that may help people get through this difficult time. When we all work in solidarity, we create so much good in the world we live in. And I believe that this is also true of positive energy. I believe this idea of a positive energy day. So this is Mary's idea. It would lift the nation and also bring us more together in doing what we have to do to get through this pandemic. This is what it might look like. This is Mary. Positive energy day. A day where all would count the many things in our lives that we are grateful for. Why? In bold capitals. Because when we are focused on so much that we are ungrateful for, this creates negative energy in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. If we focus on gratitude and the things we are grateful for, we create positive energy for ourselves and the people around us, and that in turn helps us get through the difficult times in our lives. It doesn't change what's going on in our lives, but it certainly helps us cope with life's challenges. It's always easier to work from a glass half full than a glass half empty. What do you think? Do you think it might work? Well, the words of Frank Greeley have been going around and around my brain since we spoke to him a few weeks ago when he was walking from Ballyhaunis to Dublin. And he said that gratitude and negativity can't exist together. I've been trying to do it. I've been trying to be negative and appreciate what I have at the same time. And he's right. He's right. So you're on the same page, you and Frank Greeley, that if we all sort of... And a lot of people say this, it's in a lot of books... An attitude of gratitude. And just at the end of every day, take some time out to appreciate what you have. Appreciate the positives. And don't concentrate on the negatives. What was that old song? I should have thought about it before now. I could have dug it out. Accentuate the positive. I'd play it before the end of the programme. So that's a brilliant idea, Mary. We'll see what we can do with that. Christine Leach was on Twitter. She has a nice suggestion. One thing that helps and has helped me is scheduling a phone call walk. Have you heard of those before now? So what you do is you organise it with a friend or a family member. So each walk alone, but we talk together as we walk with headphones, even though we are 5 kilometres apart and sometimes in different counties, even countries. So it's a phone call walk. I like it. I like it. And Amy Huberman, finding joy, fame, has been on Instagram, and she's been mispronouncing Barm Brack forever. Says, spend most of today walking around in total confusion, guys. I've been calling it Barn Brack my entire life. It's Barm. Barm. What's a Barm? yeah, so it is Barm. It's Barm Brack, and it's not Barn Brack. And we were looking at the origins of it there, and we went to Food Ireland, and it says the Barm Brack is a traditional Irish sweetened bread. In Gaelic, it's known as Báirín Brack, or speckled loaf, due to the way it's dotted with raisins. The tradition was to add the cake mixture with a pea, a stick, a piece of cloth, a coin and a ring. Remember back in the days before health and safety ruined it all for us? Each item had a special significance for the person who discovered it in their slice of the Barm Brack. Barm, Amy. The person who received the pea wouldn't marry that year. The stick meant an unhappy marriage. The cloth indicated poverty, the coin riches, while the person who found the ring would wed within the year, which is always very odd when you were an 8-year-old and you got the ring. Nowadays, it's usually just a ring that's added to the batter, which is a good thing, says this piece from Food Ireland, as it doesn't seem fair to give people food that could bring them such bad luck. I'm thinking, and maybe I'm wrong and somebody might correct me, but the original name is Báirín Brack. And what happened over the years, somebody might have seen that written down, and they joined up the I for the N at the end. See, I for the N, if you write that down, and it becomes an M. So that's how Báirín Brack became Barm Brack. That's my theory. Sounds good to me. It sounds good to me. So there you go. And I'll be making that next week, seeing as Halloween's around the corner. Speaking of which, we have Rachel Thornburg in today. And, you know, from midnight tonight, you won't be able to purchase Halloween outfits. And there will be a need for those this Friday, the last day of school before the midterm break. So Rachel will tell us how to make Halloween costumes from things that are lying around the house. Rachel Thornburg. Simon Delaney, always a great guest. He'll be with us after 4 o'clock. And Coleman Nocter, our child and adolescent psychotherapist, is joining us before 4 o'clock. So if you have any questions for Coleman on parenting issues, get them into us now, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Now, Declan, page 67 of A Page of My Life, has been on to us. He says, my 2020 New Year's resolutions are going pretty well. 1, learn to swim. 2, survive a pandemic. 3, win an Irish Book Award. So far, so good. Great news about the book. And Declan's referring to the fact that A Page of My Life has been nominated in the journal.ie Irish Published Books in the Unpussed Irish Book Awards. That's a mouthful. Would taking a cold shower have the same effect as cold sea? I think so, Margaret. There's loads of theories now. I can never remember your man's name. It's Vin something. And he jumps into ice cold water and sings the praise of it. And there's mixed scientific research around that. But I think, yeah, a lot of people are advocates of cold showers. There's a beautiful track on Sean Keane's album with the RT Orchestra called Gratitude. Works for me every time. I might dig that out. Now, 51551 ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon. Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash and a great song, Jackson, on RT Radio 1. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Liz says, barm is a byproduct of the beer brewing industry and was used as yeast to make brack back in the day. Hence, barm brack. That's Liz Evans there. We must get Martin Muckenummer on. He knows things about food, old-fashioned food, traditions and all that sort of thing. Wim Hof, that's who is a proponent of cold water immersion, etc., says Maeve in the West. Thanks for that, Maeve. Wim Hof. Now, we have to do this, don't we? Yes, time to tell you about our quiz of today. Today being the 21st of October. So we've got together 10 questions on events that happened throughout the decades, centuries. And we need 2 people on to answer 5 questions each. That's the deal. The main news events, scientific breakthroughs, movies, TV programmes, songs, births and deaths. All in there. And we've got a prize this week. It comes from our friends at Cliff at Lyons in County Kildare. Gorgeous prize includes a 2-night stay for 2 in Cliff at Lyons with breakfast each morning and dinner on 1 evening in the Trellis restaurant. You can fill your lungs with fresh Kildare air and your eyes with Mother Nature's best assets. The estate comes into its own in autumn with its abundance of trees in 100 shades of red and gold. Who counts them? They also have a spa out there, the Well in the Garden. More information, cliffatlyons.ie. And if you want to be in with a chance of winning that, you have to answer a qualifying question. The number to ring, 1850 715900. That's 1850 715900. And our question today is, what country do Ireland play in the Six Nations Rugby this weekend? What country do Ireland play in the Six Nations Rugby this weekend? 1850 715900. Good luck with that. And we may be talking to you after 4 o'clock.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, Coleman Nocter will be with us before 4 o'clock. And Coleman is a regular on the show. He's a child and adolescent psychotherapist. And if you're having problems at home, and it's a tough time that everyone's going through and everyone's dealing with it in their own way, and we're told that there's a lot of mental health issues, particularly among young people. So if that's happening in your house and you want some advice, drop us an email now and I'll put it to Coleman when he comes in. ray@rte.ie. That's ray@rte.ie. So we're hours away from level 5. And there was a post on Instagram that caught our attention over the last couple of days. It was a message written by a 22-year-old Dublin woman about her experience with COVID. Her name is Cliona O'Connor, and Cliona joins us on the line. How are you doing, Cliona?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for taking our call.
No bother.
So you're from Portmarnock in Dublin.
And I am, yeah.
You're studying where?
I'm studying at Marino Institute of Education on Griffith Avenue.
Yeah. What are you studying?
Early childhood education.
Which qualifies you to do what?
A degree in early childhood, so working with children, maybe with companies that support children and potentially opening a creche at some point.
Okay, great. Now, how did your relationship with COVID start?
Well, I got a phone call on Tuesday, the 15th of September, to tell me that I was a close contact. So I began to isolate and got booked in for a test on the Thursday. I got the test, and on the Saturday, I got a call to say I was positive.
Okay.
Naturally, a bit shocked. But
yeah. Can I ask you, how did that phone call go? The initial phone call?
Yeah, just the HSE just rang me and they said, look, your test was positive and then went through all
just roll back another bit. The first one, when they were actually contact tracing, that the initial call. So what did they say to you?
So I actually knew the person who was positive. So she had told me first, and then they rang me to just tell me that I'm a close contact and that I need to start isolating.
Right.
In my room, and that I will be in I'll be in touch with a test.
Okay.
So I got a test over text.
Yes, and then, as you say, you went for the test on Thursday.
Yeah.
How intrusive is it?
It's not pleasant, but it's fine. It's only literally about 20 seconds. You're in and out, and that's it. So
okay.
It's fine.
And then on Saturday, you got the call, and you were telling us about that call, yeah.
Yeah, so they just rang me and said, your test is positive. Continue to isolate for your 10 days and don't go near any family or use your own bathroom, all your own plates, forks, cutlery, everything. And in 10 days, you can go about your business. But unfortunately, after 10 days, I couldn't because 4 out of 6 of the family ended up having it. So
okay, they reckon that you gave it to them?
Yeah, well, they once I was positive, they had to isolate as well. They couldn't go to work or anything. So
right.
I'd imagine I'm the reason they got it, yeah.
Okay. What were the symptoms like?
For me, it was I had very little symptoms. I just lost my sense of smell. That was it. So I wouldn't have known I had it, only I was a close contact.
Okay, so you're nearly asymptomatic, the smell thing.
Yeah, nearly, yeah.
So no coughing or...
No, I actually, I had a cough before I was actually in contact with the person. So I wasn't sure with that cough. I wasn't sure whether it was COVID or not. But I think the cough was too soon to be anything related. I think it was just a coincidence, to be honest.
Okay. So your mum, your brother and his fiance all got COVID as well?
Yeah.
And how did it affect them?
They were the same as me. Loss of taste and smell. That was it. Tiredness. Nothing major. We were we were very mild.
Okay. So a walk in the park and you're out the other side.
Yeah.
Out of isolation for 6 days.
Yeah.
You're back to college online. What happened then?
I woke up on Thursday, the 1st of October, and I had a feeling of pins and needles from my feet kind of all the way up my legs. And I kind of just brushed it off and said, I slept weird or, I'll walk around, I'll be fine. But after a few hours, it didn't go away and I actually lost sensation from my hips down. So I rang my GP and she said, look, we don't know enough about COVID and post-COVID symptoms, so you're going to have to go into A&E. So that's where I went. And
So you could walk, but you had no sensation in your legs?
Yeah. It was just a feeling of really strong pins and needles.
Right. Scary.
Yeah, it was weird, yeah.
Right. So into A&E?
Yeah, so I was in A&E for a while and got blood tests and stuff, and I was in an isolation room until my COVID test came back because they had to retest me. Then that was negative, so I got admitted up into a ward and they did various tests. So they did a MRI scan of the spine and the brain, and then they saw on the MRI there was something wasn't right, but they just didn't know what it was. So they said it could have been two things, so a lack of blood supply or inflammation of the spine. So I had to go and get a lumbar puncture, which was determining what it was. So the lumbar puncture is it's an injection into your spine, which takes fluid, and the fluid came back and it said that it was inflammation of the spine.
Right. Myelitis.
Yeah. So, over the course of the weekend, the symptoms went, they went all the way up my body, and I lost actually the use of my hands.
Wow.
Just it, like the lack of sensation and pins and needles, same thing as the legs.
And what were the doctors telling you throughout this? Had they made a real connection between what was happening to you now and your COVID diagnosis?
Well, they had seen it before, but the inflammation that they'd seen before was actually in the middle and the bottom of the spine. So when they saw that mine was at the top, they weren't like 100% sure. But so that's, I had to go through various tests and more MRIs and just to see, because they said they'd seen it before, but just not so high up. But then, like, went through the questions, like, have you been sick in the last year? Have you done any trauma or anything? And, like, I hadn't had anything. So the virus attacked, it did. It attacked my spine and my nervous system.
Yay. So yeah. While you were there and it was getting increasingly worse, what were you thinking? Because you've loads of time on your hands to think, don't you?
I know. Having the no visitors, it made you think about all sorts of things. To be honest, I didn't look up anything because I knew that that would just like get my mind wandering. So I kind of just I did think the worst at one point. I thought, Jesus, like, am I going to be paralyzed or, you know, will this come back? But once they gave me a plan and they knew what it was, I relaxed a bit.
Okay. And when you say they gave you a plan.
So they to treat the inflammation, they put me on a high dosage of IV steroids for 3 days, which will stay in my system for 6 weeks, and hopefully my symptoms will reduce.
So, like, could you pick up your phone, for example?
I couldn't, no.
No. So texting was out, obviously.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah, it was, yeah. It was all video calls and voice messages.
Right. And what about eating? Did you have to be spoon-fed?
I actually couldn't. I couldn't hold a knife and fork or a spoon or anything. It was too skinny. It was like slipping in between my fingers. So the occupational therapist actually gave me chunky rubber handled cutlery to help. At the start, it was still difficult, but I got used to it. And yeah, it's fine now with that cutlery.
So how long were you in hospital in total?
12 days.
And how long are you out?
A week.
How are you?
I'm okay, yeah, I'm getting there. My legs, I'm getting feeling back in my legs, so that's good. My hands are still a bit dodgy, but hopefully now it'll start to come back. They said it could be 6 weeks or it could be longer. It's just nerves, they repair themselves, so everybody's different. So it's just a waiting game, I suppose.
And this is the scary thing, Cliona, is that we know so little about this virus, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. So what's your message to people then?
Well, I suppose, like, I was naive at the start, like, as in, I went by the restrictions, but I was kind of like, oh, if COVID gets me, I'll be grand, like, I'm young, I'll bounce back. But actually, that's not the case. Like, I don't think we know enough about COVID to brush it off.
Yeah.
I've had a lasting reaction to COVID that I didn't expect. I've no underlying health conditions or anything. So I suppose my message would be to go by the guidelines and try your best to stick to them, because this has affected me in a way that I couldn't have imagined.
In a very scary way too.
Yeah.
And what are you saying to your friends, and what are they saying to you?
I think it has been a real eye-opener for a lot of my friends. A few of us, when I had it, we all got it together. So to them, they were all shocked because they bounced back and out of bother. And so I think it's made my friends anyway a lot more cautious.
Yeah. How do you feel about going into lockdown tonight for the second time?
I think it's needed, to be honest. In my case, it's not really going to affect me that much because I'm housebound anyway. But for the small businesses and stuff, I can imagine it's heartbreaking. But I do think for the 6 weeks, if everyone knuckles down and does it together, hopefully we'll get a good Christmas.
Yeah, well, that's the hope, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cliona, that's a shocking story. You sound in good spirits, though, which is great.
But I've a great family I'm living with, so the vibe is always positive at home, so that's helped a lot.
And none of them got the same reaction that you did?
No, they're all not a bother back
Not
to
a bother. Okay. thanks for taking our call, Cliona. Mind yourself.
No bother.
Stay safe.
Thanks for having
bye
me,
now.
Right.
Bye, bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551, ray at rte.ie. Now, with non-essential shopping closing from midnight tonight, you may not have had time to go out and buy that all-important Halloween costume. And on Friday, of course, children all over the country, particularly in primary schools, are going to be dressed up and asked to dress up as goblins and ghouls and zombies and all sorts of things. But fear not! Costume designer Rachel Thornburg is here to help us figure out how to make something out of old clothes or whatever's lurking around in the back of the hot press or the wardrobe. Good afternoon, Rachel.
Hi, Ray.
It is Thornburg.
It's Thornburg, yeah.
I have to get the origins of that name, if you don't mind.
Oh, Vikings.
All right.
Yeah. There's just a handful of us in the country. My dad and my mum and my granny and my dad's first cousin. And that's kind of it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's nice to know.
Yeah.
And by coincidence, my 8-year-old son, Tom, is going to school on Friday as a zombie werewolf Viking prisoner.
That is excellent, isn't it?
So we just looked around the house and gathered up all the various things. And that's what you do.
That's exactly what I do.
Yeah.
So I make children's clothes and accessories from reclaimed fabrics.
Right.
Yeah.
And did this come from looking around the world and seeing what we're doing to the planet and fast fashion?
Not quite, but it's kind of turned into that. So it's kind of grown since this idea came about. So it happened very accidentally. About 7 years ago, I was given my mum's sewing machine. Really determined to learn how to use it. I had no idea. And as I grew kind of more confident in making things, I bought myself a pajama pattern to make pajamas for my daughter. And
right.
But I wasn't brave enough to spend money on decent fabric in case I messed it up, because I was sure I'd mess it up.
Right.
And so I went to my local Vincent's in Terranure and picked up a duvet cover and made them out of that.
Right.
And they're still on the go. And now my youngest daughter is in them and they're gorgeous. And so I kind of, the penny dropped, like, as to, you know, I'm onto something here.
Yes. There,
you know, I'm never going to buy fabric again. Now I have, you know, because sometimes they are irresistible. But all in all, I would try to use what we have at home.
Yeah. So what did they call it now? Upcycling, is it?
Upcycling.
Upcycling, yes.
Repurposing.
Repurposing, yes.
And
re-jingled. And
re-jingling.
Re-jingling is what you do, and you do it on Instagram.
I do it on Instagram. So I'm at re-jingled, so REJINGLED.
Okay. So before people run away from the radio going, I can't do that, that's not me, I'm not that woman, it is quite easy, isn't it?
So it's so easy.
First of all, the raw materials, what sort of things are we talking about? Old sheets?
Old sheets. I mean, I know that when I was a child, I was thrown into a black plastic bag and sent around trick-or-treating. Now, we won't dismiss that entirely, because a black plastic bag can make an instant cape. I mean,
yes.
Let's not lie.
Yes.
But anything. So say, most kids do an activity these days. So they're either in GAA or they're doing gymnastics or ballet or whatever. So any of those things can become a zombie, fill in the blank.
Zombie GA player.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
Zombie camogie player. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you get a bit creative with hair and makeup, you're on to a winner.
Yes.
If you have a dirty rugby kit, better again. You
right.
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So hair and makeup for a zombie would be, so typically like pale white face with kind of black eyes and maybe a bit of blood.
Right.
So
now this is genius, because like I thought Sudocream was there to solve every woe. And it even solves your Halloween woes.
It solves your Halloween woes. Mix it in. Like, so ladies, get out those makeup bags, because you're going to be mixing in a bit of Sudocream with your foundation to get that pale skin.
Ah.
Yeah. If you, because shops are closed.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be able to get the face paints.
And then what do you do around the eyes then?
The smoky eye palette needs to be whipped out as well.
Okay.
So loads of black and green kind of around the eyes and where you do the bit of contouring, you know, on the cheekbones.
Yes, and what about blood then? Where do you...
Blood, so red paint, red nail varnish, food colouring, bit of lipstick.
Yes,
yeah.
All work.
All work.
Yes, so that's the very basic one. You're just doing hair and makeup there. How do you get the hair? What do you do with the hair?
So if you're after, say, grey hair, you throw a bit of talc in.
Yes.
And then a bit of gel, obviously, to set it. And then, or hairspray. For a girl, you might backcomb, do a bit of backcomb wild hair. My daughter, my youngest, wants to be Bad Audrey from Descendants.
Right.
So she's got purple hair. So what I'm going to do, and I've never done this before, so your listeners are welcome to follow with me. I'm going to get a purple eyeshadow and crush it up and mix it with a bit of warm water and comb it through her hair with a comb or right. clean mascara wand, and then throw a bit of hairspray in it, and I'm just going to see what happens.
Okay. Yeah. Now, if you want to be a little bit more adventurous and you have a sewing machine or you can do stuff like that,
yeah.
say a sheet or something, what could you do with a sheet?
So I've had loads of requests for dead brides this year.
Dead brides,
dead
right.
Dead brides. So I have a white cotton flat sheet that I've cut up
right.
And a net curtain. So I actually brought in a bit of net curtain.
Yes.
Here, this would be a veil. So I've just chopped a bit of net curtain off. I've gathered it up with a bit of thread. I've thrown a couple of hair clips in it and a hair bobbin. So that would go straight onto a bun or a ponytail.
Very good.
Voila.
Very good, yeah.
Yeah. Here's another one made from a shirt. This is an Alice costume.
Aha. So it's a man's shirt.
So it's a man's shirt that's been cinched in at the waist. It has a little frill at the bottom. And I put a white apron on over that. And that's Alice.
Right. And you yeah. can be zombie Alice then with the aforementioned.
Zombie Alice, yeah, yeah. You see?
Yeah, aforementioned makeup and hair.
Yeah, so yes. This was my eldest daughter. And she, alongside that, the younger one became the Queen of Hearts.
Right.
And we made her scepter out of a turkey baster covered in gold paper and stickers. See?
Rejingled. You get all
re-jingled.
These ideas.
Rejingled.
Rejingled, yeah. And do people still do the old fashioned, just throw a sheet over your head and put two holes for the eyes?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
There's loads of things that you can do with a white sheet, though. Like you could wrap it up, tie a knot in the shoulder, and you've got a toga.
Yes.
You know? Oh, if you steep it in tea, obviously dry it then, but cut it into strips, you've got a mummy.
Right.
You become a mummy.
Aha.
Yeah.
Because it has that brown, that sort of brown lived-in look.
Lived-in dead look. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think, anything else around the house that we're not thinking about that we're
yeah,
lying
so,
around?
So people that are just completely allergic to, say, sewing or have nothing that they're willing to sacrifice. So like no fabric costumes. A friend of mine is actually dressing up as a bunch of grapes this year. So she's just blowing up green balloons and sticking them all over herself.
Right.
A cardboard box and a bit of tin foil can be turned into a robot very,
yes,
very easily.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, obviously just cut out a head hole and some arm holes and then just reams and reams of tin foil. And then maybe even some fairy lights on the front.
Yes.
A flashing robot.
Yes, yeah.
Then obviously don't dismiss your onesies. My kids have onesies. I have a onesie. I've never really told anyone that, but I've just told the nation.
Listen, I have one as well.
Oh, right.
if we're confessing.
Okay.
Yeah, it was
full confessional.
Yeah, yeah. What's yours like? No, it doesn't matter.
So,
onesie confession. Go
yeah.
on.
But for example, now my youngest daughter has a lion cub onesie. So she went as Hermione's cat 1 year and my other daughter went as Hermione's. So it was perfect. A friend of mine has three boys and they had identical onesies. So she put on an apron and had a wooden spoon and they became Goldilocks and the three bears.
Right, right.
A spider costume.
Right.
Is a couple of pairs of black tights stuffed with newspaper. The child obviously has to dress in black for the extra limbs.
Oh, yes. So yeah. Your six limbs then, yes.
So
you attach them to the waist, do you?
Well, cut off the handles of a shopping bag and kind of attached. I also undid a wire hanger so there was a bit of, you could move them.
Yes.
So I strung those to the handles of a shopping bag and so the child wore that as a backpack.
Right.
And so had two legs coming up behind their head and then two that were kind of hanging from their arms. So then suddenly we had eight limbs.
Eight legs, yes, yeah, yeah.
And brilliant. Then obviously the gusset of the tights as the hat and eight eyes stuck
genius.
On top.
Oh, genius.
Come here, listen.
Genius, genius.
I have all your problems solved. Fret not for Halloween 2020.
And it's Rejingled is where you'll find Rachel Thornburg. And that's Thornburgh.
Correct.
There you go. It's in front of me now. I didn't do that out of my head, Rachel. Thanks so much for coming in and helping us out with our homemade Halloween costumes. Thanks, Rachel.
Thanks, Ray. Pleasure.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
When my three lads were younger, we made the Halloween costumes from scratch using bits and bobs from the house. From the moment school started back in September, it was all they chatted about. A lot of the time, we reconfigured my clothes. It was fantastic. I really missed those days. The fun we had was fantastic. Now we can go live to a boat off Slay Head to talk to Kevin Flannery, who's marine biologist with Dingle Aquarium, who we've spoken to lots in the past. How are you doing, Kevin?
We're doing good, Ray. rather cold and wet, but we're doing fine.
Yeah, now, I was led to believe on the news last night that the search for fungi was discontinued.
It did, Ray. They called off the search in the harbour vicinity, but this morning I received a call from people overlooking Slayhead, the guy that owns Stonehouse Restaurant, and he told me that this morning he sees a singular individual dolphin just off the vicinity of Slayhead. So I informed the fungi boatman, and we came back here now with the lady Laura. We've been looking, but we came across a school, all right, of common dolphins.
Right.
No bottlenose dolphin.
Right, okay. I was just saying there, maybe I spoke too soon, that I was talking about the future for Dingle without fungi and all that sort of thing. So you're holding out hope, obviously, Kevin.
Yeah, obviously, because, I mean, as we say, the carcass of the body was washed ashore, so let's hope he hasn't died and that he may just have gone off, because there was quite an amount of humpback whales and minke whales feeding the mouth of the harbour, and he may just have gone off with them for a while. But
right.
Look, he has been here for 37 years, and if he was only wandering around in the other coves or bays, we had to have a look and see maybe that he would come back in. But 37 years is a good innings for
it is,
a dolphin.
It's a brilliant
world
innings.
Record.
Is it a world record? There you go. And how long has he gone missing for before?
Well, we don't know, Ray, because right. Basically the initial estimates were they were only delivered around 30 years, because basically these dolphins, when they do get washed ashore, that's when they can dissect them and do the age. That's
okay.
So some people are saying 45, 50, some people say 60. Some of the, it has varied from various experts down okay. around the world.
Okay, so that's his lifespan. But has what I want to know is, and I know you're out in a boat there off the West Kerry coast. I want to know, has he gone missing before and for how long?
Sorry, Ray, I just missed you.
You missed you, yeah, okay. Has fungi gone missing before, and for how long was he missing?
He went away for a day, with the best part of a day, that sort of way.
Okay.
He met up with a female companion, and she stayed with him for over a year, best part of a year. But then she decided she didn't like the tourists, and she took off.
Right.
So maybe she'll
okay.
have to come back and entice them away again.
Okay.
We don't know.
Well, she obviously knew that that's what she was getting into. You know, when she was going out with fungi, you know, that's part of the deal. So what's the chatter locally, Kevin?
The chatter is between the pandemic and the dolphin disappearing. We're wondering what else can happen, you know, because, I mean, all the hospitality industry, the dolphin tour, all the tour, because Dingle is totally independent virtually now of tourism. The fishing is on its knees. So, therefore, it'll be a major loss, especially to the boatmen and to cafes and restaurants. But look, Dingle has built up a reputation as a destination.
Yes.
And hopefully it can keep it up.
And that's a lovely, like the boats could maybe change their tack, because it's lovely to go out there, out of the harbour and around the coastline there. There's lovely caves and everything. And, you know, people can do that, can't they?
Oh, yeah. There's still quite a lot to see. I mean, as I say, there has been a dramatic increase in the number of humpback whales up at the South
West
Coast.
Yes, yes.
And my first time in my life, seen them outside the mouth of the harbour in Dingle. So, for people to get to see and see the natural environment, hopefully there's hope, and I think as a destination, Dingle has that.
Right.
So
well,
let's build on it.
We're not giving up hope on fungi yet, so fingers crossed. Mind yourself out there, Kevin.
All right, Ray. Good talking to you.
Thank you. Good talking to you too. So that's Kevin Flannery on a boat off Slayhead, looking for fungi after a sighting this morning. So fingers crossed there. Now, we don't have any more ads, so we need. Is he there? Right. Colman Octor, how are you?
Good, thanks, Ray. How are you?
Good. Come in closer to your phone there, and we'll get you. Are you on a laptop, or what are you on?
I'm on a laptop. Is it struggling to hear me?
No, if you just come closer to wherever the microphone is, it'd be great.
Okay, sorry about that.
We're all getting used to this this new way of working. Anyway, Colman, as you know, is our child and adolescent psychotherapist, and he's offering help on any parenting issues you might have. How are things with you, Colman?
Busy, Ray.
Yes.
I've never seen anything like it. I'd say the last 3 weeks, the phone and emails just happen. Everyone's, I think this is the peak of the mental health pandemic, if I can put it that way. It doesn't look good out there, Ray, in fairness.
Doesn't it?
There's a lot of people struggling. And again, I think the ominousness of returning to round two, a lot of fatigue, a lot of deflation, a lot of upset and a lot of worry, I think, really, about schools staying open, etc. So,
And none of this is self-fulfilling, is it not? You know, if people hear, you know, it been said on the radio all the time and hear it on the television, that they feel that that's the way they should feel, if you know what I mean.
I mean, I guess there's a side to that, and again, you know, a lot of it comes down to what we expect from our lives, you know, and how the difference between our expectation and reality is the space we have for unhappiness. But right. I genuinely think there's a lot of people who are really lost. And the thing I'm noticing, Ray, is that people, again, who've been managing really well, who've been making really good lifestyle choices, have no access to mental fitness. So when you're saying to someone, socialize, mix with your friends, have a hobby.
Oh, volunteer. Yes.
They've been doing that for 6 years and coping. But now that they can't do any of it,
of course,
all the stuff is coming back. And so, look, I know I'm sounding bleak and I apologize, but I wouldn't be giving you an accurate account.
No, but I asked you how are things in your world and you're giving me an honest answer. Okay, so this is samples of what's happening in people's lives then. Coleman, I have during lockdown separated from my husband. My son is 3 years old. He started hitting me and his grandparents, which I think is connected to getting attention. One example, if we were doing a video call with family and the conversation has moved on from him and not involving him, he hits. I'm overwhelmed with the volume of parenting books, thinking step, time out, cool down, all this advice. I'm using a cool down chair as he gets very angry and agitated. Positive discipline sounds good. I want him to learn there are consequences to his behaviour. What is the most constructive way to deal with this, especially when the tantrum of screaming starts? He gets very angry. But he has also started hitting other children in play school. Please help. That goes on to say, he's an only child. We have good boundaries, one cartoon a day, but we'll kick off if he watches more than one with grandparents. He sees his dad weekly and it's all positive. We have a family walk together. Doing my best, but it's challenging.
Okay, first of all, very sorry to hear this listener has separated over the lockdown period. That's really difficult. But in terms of this little kid, he's three, so his ability to emotionally regulate he hasn't got that capacity. So he's going to need a lot of help with that. The attention-seeking behaviour, I wonder if he has moved in with granny and granddad since lockdown. And maybe if there's three different sets of rules, you know, sometimes granny can let you do a little bit more, granddad lets you do a little bit more, mum makes you do a little bit less. So when the boundary is unclear, it'll just continually be tested to see which is the right one. You know, granddad lets me pull all on, drag him out of it. Mom doesn't let me do that. Mom lets me one cartoon, granny lets me three. So all that is kind of a lot of that testing behavior. What she's describing is kind of attention seeking. I'd say given the disruption to this lad's life, with maybe the loss of dad over the last while, he's probably relationship seeking as opposed to attention seeking. So you have to kind of keep that in mind. But a 3-year-old is a conditional child, so he has to have sanction for hitting and, you know, lashing out and all that sort of stuff. Ideas off on the parenting books. If you've read two, you've probably read enough. You know, the advice is overwhelming. But disattending to misbehavior and trying to not pay attention, not give that the visibility, try and catch him being good. If you know the phone call or the FaceTime call is a challenge, when it's ringing, you know, say, if you can manage this, we're going to do something nice afterwards, or I'll get you a treat afterwards, so that you're giving him something to aim for. Because just asking him to behave himself means nothing to a 3-year-old. Do you know what I mean? From that point of view, what you mean. Yeah. So really short-term boundaries, but a little bit of understanding. The adjustments of what has happened in his life over the last number of months is going to take a little while for him to manage.
And how much would he know about that? You know, how much can a 3-year-old process?
They won't know anything about the detail, but they'll know what it feels like. Do you know what I mean? So they'll feel absence and they'll feel stress and they feel uncertainty and they feel ambience. And as much as every parent tries to protect them from that, they have this antenna to pick it up. Yeah. And look, if dad's there all the time and he's not there all the time anymore, that change will be noticed by even the smallest child. So, you know, we know children learn so quickly and we give them all this credit for the neurons firing, but we sometimes feel that they don't take in the bad stuff. They take in that as well. Do you know what I mean? From that point of view. So it's just to accommodate and make some allowances for his little bit of chaotic behavior at the moment. In the context of the change, it's probably understandable. And I think if she weathers it out with consistency and predictability and containing the misbehavior, it should settle. you know, and it's great that himself and his dad have an ongoing good relationship, and she seems to be able to do that with his dad too.
That's important, and highlight good behaviour.
Now, catch him being good. Catch him being good.
My daughter, 14, struggling at the moment, feels it's too much. I feel it's too much internet and COVID. No sport, no games. How do I get her out of feeling like this? She says she's low and feels like there's no point.
Yeah, I'm wondering when you say that, whether she feels it's too much internet and COVID. I mean, again, the COVID thing is so unfair because it's really struck at the kids who were really active. Do you know what I mean? The kids who engaged in lots of activities and had all the organized stuff and who were in leagues and in team sports, all that sort of stuff. All those kids have been really disenfranchised by it. Whereas the kids who were kind of screen sitting in their rooms kind of have not noticed that much of a jolt in terms of their reality. So there's a little bit of an unfairness that the kids who usually were kind of keeping busy outside are now having to find busyness online. And that, you know, not every child loves the online world. Some of them find it really artificial, false, manufactured and non-authentic. And so when you're limited to that, it is a real shock. And I'm speaking to kids all the time and teenagers, young adults, who are really struggling with this way of being at the moment. Do you know what I mean? Not having the freedom of movement to go. Yes. And, you know, having a taste of that through September and the staycations and everything else, and then back to it again. There's almost, some were saying, like, it's like a window of time that we're going to miss out on. And there's a real sense that, you know, you're only 15 once. And if you're, you know, if you don't get the chance to be 15, then that's gone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. But but you can postpone things and this will pass and, you know, you will be able to play sport. And then there are alternatives, you know, like you can start running, for example. You know, you might encourage your one of your parents to go running with you, or they could go on the bike and you can do a run. You know, so there are alternatives. Yeah.
And absolutely. And we have to be creative. But I just think, you know, for that 15-year-old and 17-year-old, we can sometimes dismiss the experience as, when we're looking back in our 40s plus and saying, you know, it's no big deal.
Yes, fair enough.
If they don't have a Debs, you know, they do miss that. It's probably those. And the first year in college group, Ray, are they're really struggling. Yes. You know, they're feeling they're really missing out on something. And I, having my life experience behind me, I don't think it's as big a deal as they're making out. But I can understand it's a big deal for them.
Of course. So what's the advice to this woman with her 14-year-old?
I mean, again, trying to get her as involved as possible and within the limitations is the thing, trying to keep her motivation going. I mean, again, trying to put some degree of finality or timeline on it, that, you know, this is a 6 week lockdown and it's done with the process, that we can hopefully enjoy Christmas and that there will be some light at the end of the tunnel. And look, if we go lockdown again in January, so be it. We'll have another break to look forward to. 6 weeks isn't a long time. You know, we'll be able to do, what can we do in the meantime? And when you're doing, and I'm guessing this girl is anxious, and anxiety, I'm repeating this a lot, but I think it makes an awful lot of sense. When you're anxious, you overestimate the challenge and you underestimate your own ability. Okay. And what you need to do is put the challenge in perspective and really nurture your sense of your own ability and really try and believe in what power and control you have over your own controllable variable to make, like, you know, pick up people saying, oh, I learned another language over lockdown, and that can make you feel a bit sick sometimes because you didn't. But, you know, this time round, like, you know, take up a guitar, go on a YouTube channel, try and find someone. As you say, run. If you can do something within 5K, take that up. You know, look for some, you know, I don't know, try do a Joe Wicks program, something like that. Try. And again, we always say, when I feel better, I'll do something different. And I'd always say, well, when you do something different, you'll feel better.
That's a good way to end it. And the anxiety thing, that's interesting. Just say that again for people. When you're anxious, you
overestimate the challenge and underestimate your own ability.
Yeah.
And what you have to do is put the challenge, invite context, perspective and reality into the conversation and nurture your own ability. You can do this. We can do this. We will do this.
Great.
But it's just having to do it and get through it. But stay strong, I think.
Okay. Thanks, Coleman. Mind yourself.
All the best, right.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye now. That's Coleman Nochter there. Anish Dosha now in the Free Skelton and Oakdale and Marion Nihulawan. Good, Marion. Thanks very much. 51551 ray at rte.ie. Olive has been on. How are you doing, Olive? I noticed a beautiful Halloween tree in a house window recently. Perhaps we older folk can decorate a window for the younger generations to enjoy passing by. Nice idea. And on fungi, being such a phenomenon, was it ever thought to tag fungi? Thanks, Brian. Well, Niamh, who works on the show, asked Kevin that yesterday, Kevin Flannery, the marine biologist from Dingle Aquarium, and he said fungi being a wild animal, it was impossible to tag them. So it's something they have discussed over the years. If killer whales were in the vicinity, that could explain fungi's absence. It's just pure self-preservation on fungi's parts, as that person. What else is there? Of course, lockdown starting tonight is a pity, but somehow because they put a time frame on it, 6 weeks, it kind of gives you a target to maybe make improvements, catch up time on your new music, inspirational books, etc. The fridge is full and maybe Mr. Trump will be consigned to history. That's Frank. And another Frank says, could it be fungi is self-isolating off the blaskets? That's Frank's theory. And Audrey Hannigan has been on. Hey, I'm page 338 of A Page of My Life, the last story. Can't wait for the launch next week. Well, we're working on it already. We had brilliant plans, thinking that we'd be out of lockdown. 150 people into Studio One. Loads of chats and clinking of glasses and bits of cheese and pineapple. And of course, lockdown has sorted that out. So we are organising something for next week. It'll be more virtual than actual. But it's going to be a good event, a good show next Thursday, October 29th, for the launch of A Page from My Life. Here we go. Yay! Yep. Our quiz of today. Today being the 21st of October, we have 10 questions on events that happened over the years. Yes, some of them would have appeared on Pathé News. Others in the newspapers or on television. Or in the charts, or on the big screen. Births and deaths, all included. So we've 5 questions each for our 2 contestants, and we've a great prize. 2 nights at the Cliff at Lines in County Kildare. Dinner one evening in the Trellis restaurant, and you get to go to the Well in the Garden, their spa. More information at cliffatlines.ie. Patrick Darby is in Mullingar. How are you doing, Patrick?
Great, how are things? Not too bad at all.
Yeah, you're off today.
I am, a day of peace and tranquility today, so.
Right. What do you do for a living?
I'm an online driver there for Super Value.
Aha. I've never spoken to an online driver for Super Value before. So I have a number of questions for you. Do you do the shopping or do you not do the shopping?
I don't do the shopping. I do deliver the shopping. Aha. To any houses or apartments or whatever around the town or the county.
So your job has become a lot more important during the pandemic, I would imagine, Patrick?
That's part of my job, but the other half of it is the girls back at base do the shopping.
Yeah, I know that, but people who are quarantining or cocooning, they're now more likely to shop online, aren't they?
Yeah. And like anyone we go out to, we'd have a sheet, and be on the bottom of the sheet if they're self-isolating or there's COVID in the house.
Right, and so you behave accordingly.
We have certain procedure as to carry out the way we deliver it.
Ah, okay. And you have a busy house yourself.
We have.
Go on.
We have Chloe. She's 19. She's doing her online college at the minute.
Right. In first year, is she?
She is in her second year.
Second year. Right. Okay. Yeah.
Mark is doing his leaving cert. He's in sixth year.
Right.
Lee's in second year. And I have a 6-year-old, Adam. He's in Curramore National School in Mullingar. He is in the autism unit.
Right. And we were talking to Jane yesterday. She has 2 children with autism. And we were just discussing the fact that without the routine of school, that it can affect them very badly.
Yeah, because when the first lockdown came in March, Adam only kind of got going into school and the whole lot, and he got his bus and the whole lot.
Yeah.
And when we told him that he wasn't going in, he just went bananas altogether now.
Right. But they're going to keep the school open. So that's great.
Which I think is great for their own mentality, and the whole lot is on the positive side.
It is. Now, how are you on quizzes, Paddy?
Not too bad. It'll be on the odd one here and there.
Okay, right. You're up against Helen Bennett from Rathoath. How are you doing, Helen?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. Niamh is very envious of you because you're...
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm getting my hair cut.
Nice, look at you.
The COVID cut. It's only really short.
Right. And it wasn't planned, but when they announced level 5...
No, I knew I was going to need one, but when I heard that they were shutting down for 6 weeks, I said, I really, really need one. I was lucky. Lucky to get an appointment.
Is it busy?
It is, yeah. And they said it's been very busy for the last couple of days.
Right. And did you ask them what time they're closing it tonight?
I didn't ask, actually. Yeah, I think it's normally about 6:30 or so. So
I'd say
it might open a bit later.
And what's the story with your house?
There's me, my husband, James, and my son, Niall, and his partner, Paula.
Right. And you work in the zoo?
I do work in the zoo, yes.
Right. What do you do in the zoo?
I'm the team leader in the African section.
Right. So which animals are you responsible for?
So I have a nice range, you know, so birds from, you know, hornbills, rhinos, monkeys, chimpanzees, gorillas.
Right. Yeah,
so it's a good wide range.
Which are your favourite?
I really love chimps.
Do you? What is it about them?
They're very like us. They're like the bold us, basically.
They're like the bold us. The cheeky us, cheeky chimps.
Yeah, very.
So the zoo is closed again now, but of course the animals have to be minded.
Exactly, yeah. So if it's not like the last time, it was just we kept going, working, looking after the animals, and there was a lot less traffic on the road.
Yeah, you know, the
big difference. Yeah.
So short, you're going very short or?
I'm going very short, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it has to last for a few, you know, probably a couple of months.
Right. Any holidays planned? Sorry.
No. I had a few planned this year, but
yeah,
didn't
I know.
Happen.
Like all of us. Like all of us. Okay. Yeah. 5 questions each, and whoever answers most correctly will be off to the cliff at Lyons in County Kildare. If it's a draw at the end of 5 questions each, then we go to a tie-break situation. Good luck to you both. I need the answers as quick as possible. Let's get a bit of tension going. Here we go. Patrick in Mullingar, your first question is this. On this day in 1886, Jose Hernandez, Argentinian poet, died at the age of 51. On what continent is Argentina?
South America.
Is the correct answer. Helen, on this day in 1969, a bloodless coup took place in Somalia and the government was overthrown. On what continent is Somalia?
Africa.
Yes. Yeah, well, you'd know that from your zoo background. Patrick, your second question is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
Governor talking. I should have expected to find you holding Vader's leash.
I recognised your foul stench when I was brought on board.
Okay, on this day, 1956, that actress you just heard was born. Her most famous role was as Princess Leia in Star Wars. Can you name her? Need an answer from you now, as quick as possible. No.
Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, I need them a bit quicker, Patrick. But Carrie Fisher is the correct answer. Okay, Helen, yours is an naughty one as well. Have a listen to this.
Come on, Dover. Come on, Dover. Move your blooming arm.
On this day, 1964, that film My Fair Lady was released. Can you name the actress you heard who played the part of Eliza Doolittle?
Wasn't Audrey Hepburn, was it?
It was Audrey Hepburn, yes.
Well,
just you wait, Henry Higgins, just you wait.
Okay,
Patrick, question number 3 for you. On this day in 1904, poet Patrick Kavanagh was born. The Patrick Kavanagh Centre in Inniskeen commemorates his life. In which Irish county was Patrick Kavanagh born?
County Sligo, was it?
No, Monaghan. You're thinking of Yeats. It was Monaghan. Stony grey soil of Monaghan. Okay, still early days. For you, Helen, on this day in 1917, Irish poet and playwright William Butler Yeats married Georgie Hyde Leeds. Sorry, Georgie Hyde Lees. Which county in Ireland is known as Yeats County?
Sligo.
It's correct. Yeats Country, yeah. Okay, Patrick, question number 4 for you is an audio one. Have a listen to this. Okay, on this day in 1975, that singer was given a star on Hollywood's Walk of Fame. Can you name him?
Oh, God.
Who was that singing there?
I have no idea.
Have you not? Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. No idea.
No idea.
Elton John. Elton John, that was. Believe it or not. Helen, you're on 3. You're on 2. Patrick, this is your 4th question. Also an audio question for you. Helen, have a listen to this. So on this day in 1992, that singer released her infamous book, Sex. Can you name her?
Madonna.
Yeah, it's the correct answer.
Oh, okay.
Now, that means, Patrick, you can't catch Helen, does it? It does. Do the maths on that, says you. So you're on 2 and Helen's on 4. I'll just give you your last question just for the crack, because we can't use it tomorrow. On this day in 1805, the Battle of Trafalgar took place. Can you name the British Admiral who was shot and killed during the battle and who once had a pillar dedicated to him in the centre of Dublin before it was blown?
Wellington, was it?
No, Nelson. Horatio Nelson, there you go. And your final one would have been this, Helen. On this day in 1854, which nurse, who became known as the Lady with the Lamp, was sent with a staff of 38 nurses to the Crimean War?
Nightingale.
You're up. Right. You're up against a good one today, Patrick.
That was well done, Helen.
And
thanks a million, Patrick.
Patrick, listen, we're going to send you out a Ray D'Arcy Show mug.
That's grand, Ray. Thanks for that.
And listen, mind yourself and all the family.
And thanks for having me on.
Yeah, great to talk to you. That's Patrick Darby there in Mullingar. And Helen Bennett, when everything is sorted, you'll be off to Cliffat Lines in County Kildare.
Thanks a million. Really looking forward to it.
With your hubby. Okay, enjoy that. See ya.
Thank you.
Well done,
bye
Helen.
Bye.
See ya. Bye. 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 Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Simon Delaney has joined me in studio. How are you doing, Simon?
I'm great, Ray, and yourself?
You are our last guest.
Am
before
I?
Before we go to level 5 in studio.
Oh, Lord, right.
Yeah. Because we've been told that only essential people can come in, like politicians and medical people.
Do I get a prize for that?
We'll give you a mug.
Lovely. Lovely. I'm in. Right. I'll stay so.
Simon's here because he's the ambassador for Sport Ireland's Your Personal Best Month, which is going on for the month of November.
Yeah.
And they picked you. Why?
Well, the campaign is kind of aimed at gentlemen of my age. So I had a big birthday last month. It was the 20th anniversary of my 30th, which is the kindest way I can say it. So I heard this before I heard of the campaign or was made aware of the campaign. And I was sort of sitting there and I was thinking, now I played a lot of sport back in the day, played me football, played a lot of golf. But over the last kind of 10 years in particular, I kind of become very inactive, you know, busy as a dad with 4 kids in the house, but not exercising. And I decided on the week of my 50th, right, off we go. Now, I was never a gym bunny, so I was never going to do workouts and all that kind of stuff. So I just stuck the headphones in and went out for a walk. And there's a lovely kind of ring road around where I live, and it's a 5.6K walk.
Right.
So I started doing that walk every day, and I've done that for the last 6 weeks. And then I was made aware of this campaign, and it fits because Sport Ireland are kind of aiming it at men over 45 to do 30 minutes of exercise 5 days a week. Not 7 days a week, 5 days a week. Because statistically and demographically, we're useless at doing that sort of stuff. We're not very self-motivated.
Yeah.
But we also put a lot of excuses up front. Jesus, it's raining, I'm not going out. So the idea of the campaign is to ditch the excuses and take it at your own speed. Walking, cycling, whatever it is you want to do. On the Sport Ireland website, they have loads of tips, tricks, little videos, home exercises if you want to do that and don't want to go out if it is lash and rain. But just to sort of, the main thing about the community, there's an online community there of people who are like-minded spirits who are going to try and help you. And the key message is that they're going to help you change little things now that'll make a big difference in a few years' time.
Right.
Because, might I say, we're of an age now where things are going to start happening. So we need to look out for ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's not exclusively for men. They're not saying it's only for men, the campaign.
Bring but the I'm family. Just looking at the stats there.
I know, they're frightening.
73%, that's just on 3/4 of men aged between 44 and 55 do not engage in the recommended 150 minutes of exercise per week. And that's the 5 days, 30 minutes
a day. And I'm talking about going for a walk, right?
Yeah.
That's all I'm doing. Now, I've done it every day. I've lost 7 kilos in 6 weeks.
Have you?
Yeah, just over a stone.
I'm always interested to know how it makes you feel.
I'll be honest with you, and I'm not on message here. You know, I'm sleeping better.
Yeah.
My mind is definitely a clearer place. And I just feel there's a sense of achievement as well. I know I'm looking at it in terms of the weighing scales, but just in terms of my mental health, because it's been an obnoxious year for everybody for various reasons. And I just found that at 9:30 in the morning when the kids were dropped at the school, I was either going to sit and watch Homes Under the Hammer or I could go out for a walk. And I went out for a walk. I picked my favourite podcast and off I went.
Yeah.
And I did 2.5K the first day and I felt like I'd walked up Crowpatrick. I was shattered. And then I did 3K. And now I'm up to this one circular walk that I'm doing. within the 5K limit, which is great. So it's all within COVID regulations. I'm doing 5.6K a day out and back. And it takes me just under an hour. And I'm sleeping better. I feel better. And I can recommend it higher.
Just talking to your mates and looking around you, why do you think men are so bad? Men of that age are so bad at getting out to exercise?
I don't know whether we're so bad. I just think we find it hard to A, motivate ourselves.
Yeah.
And B, there's always a route out. There's always a way out of it. There's always an excuse.
They did a survey. This is the best one ever.
Yeah.
So one guy said he didn't want to go exercising because he didn't want to increase the laundry for his wife. He didn't want to build up a sweat. No,
he's very considerate. He's a very considerate man, but he's out of shape. He needs to go out for a walk. I mean, it's only an episode of something that you're going to be missing.
Yeah.
You know, and this thing about, you know, I don't really have the time. So I can't go out for a walk now. I wouldn't have time to get the dinner on or pick the kids up. Make the time.
Yeah.
Make the time. And I'm, you know, I am the target audience here.
You, like, we interviewed you this time last year.
Yeah.
And you were out the door. I remember that day, I think you had 3 or 4 different engagements on. Did you? Yeah, like you were going to a meeting about a panto.
Yeah.
And you just presented some award ceremony.
That's
and you were
right,
into
that
us.
Morning. Yeah, yeah, the RSA Awards. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was in panto rehearsals, but I came to you in the meantime.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
To do the new RTE driving series thing.
So it's not like that this year?
No, it hasn't been. I mean, luckily, I've been called a lot of things in my life, but luckily I was called essential back in March when the first lockdown happened, right. So I'm able to still go to work.
Yes, which
and
is...
And do Ireland AM.
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which is great. So I very quickly had to come up with a plan like everybody else. What am I going to do now? You know, the homeschool and the 4 kids in the house. So I started looking at the self-created kind of work. So I've been doing a lot of writing this year. I have 2 writing partners in LA. We've written a couple of scripts, one of which has got a little bit of traction. It's in development in the States. And I've also written my first novel, which I'm now re-editing and rewriting. So I made use of the time. I'm not a kind of person, as you well know, who will sit still until 8 o'clock at night. And I get the packet of biscuits out. And then I'm done for the night. But that's where this has changed that.
Yeah. So your first novel?
Yeah. Yeah, I decided on
what genre?
Well, it's kind of crime fiction, really, right, Ray. Right. Yeah. I decided on day 3 of lockdown that I needed to do so. I needed another project. So I started writing it and I finished it 6 weeks later, 130,000 words.
And was this something you always wanted to do?
I don't know. I presume so. I mean,
in your head, like? Was it?
Yeah, the idea, seed of an idea was there. It was a treatment for a movie script that I wrote about 10 years ago. And I was actually looking for something on an old hard drive to do with something else. And I found this one-page document. Right. I could almost write that. So I started writing it out as a feature script, but then I said, this is too big. So I did a lot of research and then it became a novel. Now, I haven't got a publishing deal.
No.
I have. It's with my publishers who did my cookbook 3 years ago in Scotland. But I've sent it to a couple of trusted friends who I know are avid readers and avid readers of that genre. Right? Yeah. And they liked it. None of them said it was crap. So that's, you know, so now I'm in the process, I should say, as one person said, writing is rewriting. So it's rewriting it, trimming it, all that kind of stuff. So hopefully it'll
come out. That's very exciting.
Well, if it doesn't come out, at least I have it. I have the manuscript at home. I've written it. It's done.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
And you're also writing screenplays.
Yeah, well, that's something I've been doing for about 5 years now. I met 2 pals of mine when I was out in LA doing a movie, which actually ended up never happening. I was cast in a movie, went out to meet the producers, and the finance never happened. But I met 2 of the producers. We became good pals, and we sat in Cat's Diner in LA one night. I said, well, you know, we should write something ourselves. And we've now written 4 TV kind of pilots, 1 drama and 3 comedies. And the drama has been picked up by an agency in LA, and it's now in development.
Right.
Whatever that means. So that's a little bit of traction on that. But yeah, I had to find something else to do, apart from going to work, because I was still going to work. But the likes of the live theatre, I've lost quite a bit of work, like most of my
panto,
friends have.
Obviously.
Well, panto, we still don't know what's happening.
But there isn't going to be panto, is there?
Well, I don't know. We haven't heard official word. Like, there might be a panto, but it won't be a panto as you and I know it.
Yeah.
There won't be 1,400 people in the audience. You know what I mean? I don't know, to be honest. But the industry... That industry, my industry, is in tatters. You know, I have friends, not just actors, stage managers, lighting guys, sound guys, who haven't worked since the 15th of March. Mm. And the terrifying thing is they have no idea when they go back to work. That's terrifying.
It is terrifying.
They need help and they need support. I know that the government have put funding aside. That's a great start. They're going to need a lot more than that, you know. 35,000 people are directly employed by theatres and live venues in this country, and they're not at work.
The longer this goes on, it's difficult to see, as you say, 1,400 people in a venue.
Well, this is it. Yes, someone said to me earlier on, like, you know, even when the doors reopen, how will the public feel about going back into a venue?
Yeah,
with 2,000 people or 1,400 people. I don't think that'll be a problem. There might be a small minority of people who might go, God, maybe not for me. But then they can go and wear a mask.
Yeah.
You know, just the ideas of taking the vaccine, whipping the mask off and running back into the Three Arena, it's not going to happen like that.
No, it's going to be more gradual.
Absolutely.
So four boys at home.
Four boys, yeah. And one of which I drag on my walk with me, which is brilliant.
Right. What age is he?
He's 12. Oh, right. I came home from work last Saturday after an Ireland AM and I said, I'm going out for my walk. And I said, do you want to come? We said, yeah, why not? And we went out and we walked and talked for an hour. And it was great.
Brilliant.
It was great. And like, it's strange the way learned behaviour changes, Ray. You know, remember the ad was on a while ago where the young fella's watching the dad eating the crisps on the couch and then the kids... So that stuck with me as well, because the first time I went out for a walk, my kid said, you're going out for a walk?
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
No, but then I laughed. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going out for a walk. Why?
You?
Whereas last Tuesday or Wednesday week, I put my coat on and he said to me, are you going out for your walk, Dad?
Yeah.
So now it's...
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Now they
yeah.
don't look at me as your man eating hula hoops every 2 hours.
Isn't that brilliant? Because are you getting healthier, but you're been a role model for your children.
Well, that's it. Look, look, it's all about looking after each other and the men of the country. And listen, apart from anything else, Ray, and God knows you've covered it on your show over the last couple of months, you know, yes, you'll see the benefit on the weighing scales and yes, you'll sleep better. But it's for your headspace. Your headspace. I'm telling you now, go out and lose yourself in a podcast or just put your favourite album on and walk for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
30 minutes. That's not even a full episode.
It'll surprise you. It'll surprise you how good you feel after.
Oh my God, you'll never regret doing it.
No.
Never.
No. So the eldest is 12, is it?
14.
14.
14, 12, 8 and 4. Strange names for the kids, but they get used to it. Yeah, 14 to 4.
Yeah.
Great crack. That homeschooling was great crack. Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah, yeah. I loved that.
Simultaneous equations.
Oh, jeez, magic, yeah. Christ. What's the Irish for? No, I was out. God, yes, left the kitchen.
Did you adding ratios? That's one that I'd never did at school, but I was asked to do it recently.
Yeah, no.
And I'm getting really annoyed myself because, I sort of fancy myself as good at maths and all that.
Oh, yeah. Well, every child thinks their dad's the most clever person in the world until you ask them what the capital of Peru is and you go, pardon? Give us the first letter. You know what I mean?
Let's look that up for you.
Yeah, go on. Yeah, hang on. Google. Yeah. It was a joy. Yeah, but this time it's a little bit better because obviously the schools are still open. But they've had it rough this year.
The kids have had it
rough,
yes.
We had a communion in the house supposedly in May, which was cancelled. It was due to happen last week and it's gone again. So my heart breaks for him because he had his little suit on him and he was all dressed.
And you would have been dipping into those funds.
Oh, well, it's 20%.
20%. Right.
My outfit, God be good to him, still has my communion money in old white fivers.
Right, so we're going to talk about this again. So they can go to Sport Ireland's website.
Sportireland.ie.
Yes, and it's your personal best month. Yeah. And it's to get those 73% of men who don't exercise 150 minutes a week to get
five
up off
days
their
a week.
Arses.
Go
get
up off their
the couch. Yeah.
5 days a week for 30 minutes. Go out and have a game of golf if you can.
Yeah.
Anything within the social parameters. Just do a walk 5 times a week, 30 minutes a day.
And this is, if you can do it, Simon.
100% right, and I've no problem sitting here and saying that.
Yeah,
because 6 months ago I'd have laughed at you.
Yeah,
but I'm now up to 6K a day, and I'm down over half stone.
Right, great to see you. That's Simon.
You too, pal.
There.
Look after yourself.
Yeah, and you too. Now, Cormac and Sarah are on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.
It's the Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.